sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Oh, somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. And hope you men are doing well today. It's almost summertime. Things are warming up. But that's the way it's supposed to be. So we rejoice in that and looking forward to a good program, and I'll let you know when your callers call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And we do welcome you for joining us this Wednesday night for Hope is Alive. Hope is Alive is about testimony. And what is that testimony? It's the captives that have been set free by the power of the blood, by the power of the cross, by the power of the word, and by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. A wealth of information on that website will help you out with any of your deliverance needs. Give you training, give you prayers, give you testimonies. Everything you need is there. A good arsenal to have, a good tool for your arsenal. Or the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book, and he'll get it out to you. I do believe we ask a $20 offering for it, but it's a tool. I call it often casting out demons for dummies. it's got a good step-by-step process to it, laid out very well, and it's got nearly 40 years worth of experience in it. Pastor, I got to say greetings to you. I'm hearing something in the background. It sounds like our voices, so I don't know if somebody's got a radio on. I don't know if you have anything on, Pastor, but I can hear it. If not, maybe see feedback from my phone. But glad to be here. I'm in the Ozarks. Beautiful weather. Sitting at Brother Leon's house. Happened to be working up here, so I got to visit with him and looked down at the clock and said, I got to get on the radio.
All right. Well, I'm glad you remembered. I've come close a few times forgetting to get on, but remember tonight. Well, beautiful in Oklahoma as well, Ralph. Summer, great time, good fishing weather, right?
It is. I've actually been doing a little fishing. I know we traded a few fishing pictures. So that time of year, been doing a little bit of fishing. So that's a good thing, and it's good to get out and fish because we often fish for men. But it's good and fun to fish for fish. But Pastor, as I said, a couple times in the past, I've been for almost a little over 2 months now. I've been joining some men on Tuesday night. We've been in a conference call. We're having prayer, fellowship. And a Bible study, and we learned a lot last night. Learned last night on Isaiah, and as we were reading it, there were some I ams. There's a lot of I ams in Isaiah. So I'm going to give a few I ams because these are me, and I know they're you and everybody else in Jesus that's out there. This is all you. I am chosen. I am anointed. I am appointed. I am known by the Lord, and I'm a friend of the Lord. Now, those are some fantastic I ams and fantastic promises, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and all of them leading into Jesus to come.
Yes, yes. Fantastic. So, if you're not familiar with the I ams, you probably don't listen to us. But you can get the I ams. You could, we've got a nice little brochure put together, a couple pages. Pastor Peters put together several years ago. You can get that by going to Tall and Rich at the office. So when they get the website up, I believe it's on the website, but I know we're having some issues. Or you can get them at deliveranceusa.com. Either way, they're good to have. They're good to use. We need to speak those positives, declare out loud what we are in Jesus. It builds up our spiritual muscles, but on top of that, it puts the spirit world, it puts the enemy on notice that, hey, I'm anointed, I'm a warrior, I am ready for battle, and I'm able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And speaking of doing all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me, Pastor, why don't you tell us about all the things you did last Monday?
Well, it was a great evening. It was our third time to get to going again on Monday nights. For years, all these 36 years, we have typically around 12 to 15, and we had 12 this Monday. This last Monday, and we had though just 10 ministers, that one of the ministers had to take two, but it was a great evening. I had a great case. I was able to get the hit demon up in this man, and one thing that was very interesting about that case, he and his wife had come because their young son, I think he's like 6 or 7, has been having some issues, and they were talking about bringing him for deliverance, but I recommend that the parents go through first. We've learned long ago, often when the parents get deliverance, the child doesn't need it because of the generational stuff coming down the lines and so on. But what was interesting about this case, I got the head demon up, which was a deceiver, and had 14 demons under its authority, but also, as I interrogated, I found out there were 2 demons under its authority that were in his young son.
You must be born again to enter heaven's gate. You must be born again, oh friends, why do you wait? If you get down on your knees and seek him for his love, he will guide you safely through that land above.
Oh, you must be born again, my dear brother.
My dear brother.
Oh, you must be born again to reach the goal.
To reach the goal.
If you look to God above and heed the warning.
Heed the warning. He will keep you from all sin and save your soul.
We read about his coming, about the saving power. No one knows the time and no one knows the hour. He will come like a thief in the middle of the night to gather all his children, so get your business right.
Oh, you must be born again, my dear brother.
My dear brother.
Oh, you must be born again to reach the goal.
To reach the goal.
If you look to God above and heed the warning.
Heed the warning. He will keep you from all sin and save your soul.
As we travel day by day, we meet friends along the way who need the Savior's love to walk the narrow way. If we want to hold his hand and live in that great land, we must fall down on our knees and pray and pray and pray.
Oh, you must be born again, my dear brother.
My dear brother.
Oh, you must be born again to reach the goal.
To reach the goal.
If you look to God above and heed the warning.
Heed the warning. He will keep you from all sin and save your soul.
After going through deliverance and seeing the pattern that was there in my life, I know that a lot of it was, it was demonic spirits influencing me. I mean, I could sit back and see it. At the time, I just didn't understand. I just thought I was weird. So that's just fantastic, fantastic on that. But I was actually talking with Leon before we came on the program about after going through deliverance and recognizing how easy a spirit can come at you. Somebody had an issue with a neighbor the other day, and they yelled something at me, and I recognized what it was. But just for a split second, there was that little voice that started to say, "You don't take that from him." And I realized what it was. I rebuked it. It got my captives obedience to Jesus. But it was easily how quickly a spirit could get you. You know, want to get you stirred up and go fight with your neighbor when we're told, no, we're to love our neighbor and suffer a wrong. And I'm just so thankful that now in my life, even in my past, you know, spiritually, I understood the word. I understood the word. I understood that I wasn't supposed to behave that way, but I still behave that way. But yeah. Now, you recognize it, and you can subdue it. You can take it captive and command it to go. When you realize what's the root cause of it.
Yes. Oh, true. Well, look at all the things. If we'd known earlier in our lives concerning deliverance, I can think of many, life would have been much better. Those demons certainly tormented me many years. And, but praise God, somebody shared. I could have missed it myself.
Yes, and even sharing sharing something as simple as when you can't really get into the whole deliverance with somebody, teaching them how to change their prayers instead of asking God to do it all for them, take the authority that's already given to them and start exercising themselves and coming against. Witnessing with Leon tonight about a customer of mine having some issues, overheard her talking to her customer about her son that had a drug addiction. And I sit there and listen enough and just witness some things to her about her authority. And she just had no idea that was in Scripture. She had no idea of those things. And when she applied them, I'd come back. I see my customers every 5 months. And when I had come back and saw her, now this wasn't this time around, it was some time back, I said, "So how's your son doing?" And she's like, "Oh, my goodness, the difference. It's unbelievable, the difference." and he was struggling with drug addiction. And some people don't realize that the drug addiction is a spirit, that they can't help themselves. Now, doors are open that let it in. I'm not saying that they're excused from what their behavior, and then neither is Pastor Cox. I mean, there still has to be a certain amount of repentance that's there. But you've got to attack the addiction and bind it. It's best to get it cast out. But if you can bind those spirits, command them to be in subjection, you'll see a difference in people's lives.
Oh, yes. That's what drives us on, because we see it constantly. They look like a different person sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most amazing.
It is amazing, and I was reading another deliverance ministry post that he had put up about the addiction on that, and he was talking about also, you know, apparently he's seen the same thing. It was almost word for word. Now, he had mentioned something in there, and I had never seen that. I got to investigate a little bit more into it, maybe send him a private message and see if he can expand on it some more, but talking about that one of the reasons that the 12-step programs don't is because they use things like the chanting and other things. It's kind of demonic in itself. I'd never heard it before. I didn't know if you had come across that, Pastor, but I'm going to look more into that and see. But that was interesting, his little take on that, but he didn't really expand too much on it. But, Pastor, we've got our first caller. Thank you for joining us tonight on Hope is Live.
Bill, are you there? Bill?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Bill. Ralph is on here with me up in the Branson area. I'm glad we connected here. If you could just go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes and healing that maybe you've had and experiences. So go right ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me fine?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. All right. I was about 8 years old when I just knew that I knew that I needed the Lord, you know. And I walked the aisle and was baptized into the Baptist church. And I loved the Lord. We were very, very close. And got up to the point of teenage years, and you know how it is. I was tempted to get out and drag Main Street, and one thing led to another, and before long I, you know, was involved in things that I shouldn't have been. And over the course of my life, I went through a couple bad divorces, and the second one was terrible, and nearly destroyed me. And so it was at that point in my life, that's been, you know, 25 years ago, and at that point in my life, I knew, you know, like, this is crazy. I don't know what I'm doing. And so I started searching back, you know, to the Lord and getting back with it. I'd always loved the Lord, and I always had studied Scripture, but I was just, you know, I just wasn't living it. I knew what was right, but I wasn't living it. So I got back involved in it and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you know, and that was the, and took off from there. And everything's been pretty good since then, but I was never able to do what was in my heart, which was ministry. I always had it in my heart to be involved in ministry and the church and so forth, and I wanted to preach and teach, and I just, it was in my heart to do it, but I couldn't get there. I just couldn't get there. I even stood in the pulpit one time on a Sunday morning and tried to put about 10 sermons into one, and it just didn't work. I just couldn't get there, and I started having quite a bit of illness, constant illness and pain, and you know, everything, arthritis, bone degeneration, all kinds, all manner of illness and pains in my side and in my, you know, you name it. It just got to be a problem, and it got worse and worse, and mental confusion, and it just got bad. And, you know, after those divorces, I was drinking and carrying on, and all manner of things that I shouldn't have been doing. So I was told about Deliverance Ministry by a couple of people, and when the second person told me about it, I figured, you know, the Lord's trying to talk to me here. And so I you know, checked it out, and we made a trip to Oklahoma City, and I went through the process, which was is unique. It's a simple thing to do, to go get help, but of course I didn't know what to expect. And but so I have had three separate ministries where they have worked with me, and over the course of that time, there were several things, a destroyer demon that had to do with spirit of destruction, all the divorces, and the financial, you know, terrible financial losses that are that go along with all that, you know, where somebody's trying to take your business and different things like that, and it's costly, and in more ways than one. And I had a heaviness or stress demon, and I had a torment demon. And the biggest deal with me, though, the worst of it all was false voices. I mean, I would wake up in the morning, and as soon as my eyes opened, here's these spirits talking to me. And, you know, they're saying all manner of things. And it's just, you can't think, you can't focus. It's just it's a harassment is what it is. And so, you know, it's a matter of over time, these things come on you and you don't really realize it. You know, you're busy and you're trying to live life and do the things you need to do. And so these little things are nipping at the edges and the enemy's, you know, coming at you from different directions, and you just don't really realize, you know, how bad it is. And but I got to a point to where I knew, you know what, this just can't go on. So in the course of the deliverance, and like I said, I went three different times, and each time they dealt with certain areas, and I was free, and I walked out of there with a smile on my face. But we just didn't have enough time. You know, we were dealing with a lifetime of situations that I had been involved in that I shouldn't have been involved in. And so, you know, I knew better. That's the deal. I knew better. I knew better than what I was involved in, and I still did it anyway. And I think that really opened the door. And so it was a situation where I had to repent. And I just had to say, Lord, you know, I've been running my own life here, and I've made a bunch of mistakes, and it didn't turn out so well, and I give you my life now. I will give my life to you, Lord. I want to live the life that you want for me. So there was a lot of unforgiveness that had to be dealt with, where, you know, I'd had situations where, you know, divorces and so forth, and we do. There was what is called breaking ungodly soul ties that you go through. It's just simple prayers that you just, you know, get before the Lord and you repent for, you know, the different things that I'd been involved in. And so I went through these processes, and the biggest problem with me was a demon of infirmity. And he was the one putting all the illnesses and sicknesses on me. And he just couldn't get rid of the guy. You know, just couldn't get rid of him. So I think there was some unforgiveness. There were some things that happened when I was a child that I didn't even remember that the Lord was able to show us what had gone on. And, of course, then I did remember it, exactly what happened. And the enemy uses things in your life. If you haven't repented, you know, the enemy uses it against you, and at least he did in my situation. And we finally got rid of that spirit of infirmity, and that was a biggie. And I think he had 14 spirits or demons under him. And one of those was a demon of divorce, you know. And, of course, I had heard him for years constantly whispering in my ear, you know, I don't mean divorce, I mean suicide. He was constantly, you know, trying to get me to commit suicide. Well, you know, thank goodness I knew better with the Baptist upbringing that I'd had. I knew better than to commit suicide. But he was still there, and that was just one of 14 demons that was under this spirit of infirmity. And Everett was able to get that guy, you know, detailed up and get those 14 spirits bound up to him, and he got rid of that guy. And it is just absolutely amazing, you know, when you get rid of those demons. And you don't even, I'm sure many, many people have no idea. You know, they just know they've got problems. You know, all manner of problems, because they hit you in all different ways. Depending on what your weaknesses are, the enemy will hit you where he knows you're most vulnerable. And when those guys are gone, it is just absolutely amazing. It's you know, I don't know that there's words to describe it, but it's almost like you're a child again, and you can think, and you can concentrate, and I don't have all this pain, and I can sleep again, and it's just amazing. And, you know, and I just think, oh my gosh, if I'd only done this sooner, if I'd only done this sooner. I'm all right at 60 or 68 years old, and so, you know, that's a lot of wasted years. You know, that sounds like a country and western song, but a lot of wasted years. And now my heart is so, you know, I just want to be involved in some type of ministry, or you know, I want to talk about the Lord. I want to read about the Lord. I want to study about Him. I want to talk to Him. It's like it opens the connection back up to heaven, where you can, you're connected, just direct connection to the Father. And it's amazing. You know, you don't realize that all that's gone and lost. It's a slow thing, and it works in on you, and you just don't realize what's causing all those problems. And a lot of it is the way that they've taught people with the movies, and even the way the Bible interprets that sort of thing. But is very common, and is very, very common for Christians to have demons. It is very common, and there are, you know, there's no telling how many people sitting in churches today that have all manner of problems, and of course nobody's teaching this, and it's just, it's a shame. It's a doggone shame. So I definitely would recommend to anybody that thinks that they have any type of spirit that is interfering with their mind, and that's where the enemy attacks, is in your mind. And if you've got somebody talking to you, a spirit that's talking to you, or you feel like you're confused, you can't think, and your mind's all cloudy and foggy, and you just can't get it put together, you can just bet that's a demon spirit. And these guys that are trained to do it, they can get rid of them. And it's not difficult. Yeah. It is not difficult. It's not like you would see on television. It's not anything like that. You know, there's no head spinning around, and there's no green goo coming out of somebody's mouth. It isn't anything like that. They go, you know, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and you know, what He did on the cross at Calvary, they're defeated. It's just a matter of taking the time to sit down with somebody that knows what they're doing and repent and you know, say a prayer. Talk to the Lord about it, and the Holy Spirit will show you exactly where the door was opened and how that spirit got in. And so you know to repent of that thing, and you get him out, and he can't get back in there. And it's like, it is amazing. Today, I'm driving to Oklahoma City on Monday nights and taking the classes to learn how to do this, just because of what it says in the Scripture. You know, Jesus said, "He who believes in me shall, you know, cast out demons in my name." And it's like, okay, well, if I believe in Jesus, then I need to learn how to do this. So I'm doing it, and everybody ought to be able to do it. I'll tell you what, that's what we need today. You can just see it on people's faces when they're out burning buildings and rioting and so forth. The enemy is unleashed in this country, and this is... it is just such a way to achieve a state of peace in your life. And once you get it back, that peace, you won't get rid of it. You won't lose it again. Like, you won't let it go again. close relationship with the Lord. Nothing else matters. That's where it's at. So I would, if anybody out there, if any of this sounds familiar to you, don't hesitate. There's no shame in it at all. I don't know how much time we have left, but there is absolutely no shame.
Bill, when the hit demon infirmity was cast out, did the voices then disappear and the pain as well?
Yes. Yeah. They don't. They can't. Hammering me, and I don't have. Yeah, I don't have that. I've only maybe two or three times have I heard anything, and it's always been the enemy. But no, the voices are gone. And I've heard those voices my entire life, basically. And I was very young when some of that stuff entered me, and I had no idea, I had no memory of that, how it happened. And I just think, people have unforgiveness, and it just opens a door. If there's any unforgiveness in your heart, it opens a door to the enemy, and you've got to let it go. You've got to forgive whoever it was. It doesn't matter. Let it go and get that peace back.
That's the big door is the unforgiveness. Well, Bill, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in. That was an awesome testimony. You covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time.
Well, thank you, Everett. We appreciate you. We love you, Everett. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Good testimony. You could really see the enthusiasm, hear it in his voice, talk about that newfound boldness. That's another testimony we hear often.
Yes.
And, he's right about the really right about the unforgiveness. I tell people all the time, it does not free them. It does not free them at all.
It's the biggest of the doors.
It's a responsibility what to do. But it frees you. It frees you, and by forgiving that person, it also seems to lose something supernaturally that lets the Lord work in their life. And a good example of that is when Stephen was stoned, and he said, "Lord, hold this sin not against him." He forgave him. Who was in that audience? Who was holding the jackets, the people doing the stoning? Who was the one sitting back and not in an agreement? And that was Saul of Tarsus. I often think that if Stephen had not acted that little righteous act, could the Lord have worked and done with Paul, or would he have used somebody else? So it's just so important to forgive, and it doesn't, it's just that a good testimony, fantastic testimony.
Brother Ralph, this is Richard.
Pastor, I think we could have let him go the entire hour. Oh, okay, Richard, next caller on?
Yeah, here's your next caller. Welcome to the show.
Right. Okay.
Hello.
Elva?
Yes.
Yes, Elva. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. Ralph is on here with me. And thank you so much for calling in. And why don't you go ahead, Elva, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and experiences. So go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm the youngest of 11 children. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 7 years old. But I didn't get discipled. And then when I became 16, I got discipled at that time. And I went to church every time the doors were open. I heard about deliverance probably in the 70s. Because I think it was 1970 that I got saved. So I did hear about deliverance. But I heard about Everett. In 2015, I was an interim pastor close to Oklahoma City. And a friend told me about Everett deliverance ministry, and she had gotten delivered from depression and oppression, and it made a remarkable change in her life. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to go there to Everett and to learn about deliverance. So I went in 2014. And I was very impressed with his testimony and how he talked about forgiveness. That very much impressed me. It's like, you know, you don't hear that, hear forgiveness talked about in the way that he brought it forth. And so during that session, he led us in a prayer so that we could forgive anyone, you know, brother, sister, dad, mom, or whoever, and so that we could forgive them and get that taken care of and not have to worry about it anymore. And I surely did that, and when I did that, I thought about people I'd never thought before. I mean, like for years. But when I did that, I felt things lift off of me. And then, of course, I went and went to one of the smaller rooms, and I had a lady worked with me, and we worked the problem list paper, and once again, I felt a lot of things lift off of me. So I felt so much lighter and so much freer, and I was really thankful for the opportunity to go. And so it made such a change in my life that I decided to go for the training. So I went and did the training, and I learned so much from Mary Jo and from Richard. They took time to answer a lot of questions, you know, that you really don't have anybody ask to ask those types of questions. I was struggling with my son. And he got into drugs and stuff when he was in high school. And so I had a lot of questions, and they were very good about answering all of my questions and bringing me knowledge and understanding that I didn't have before. But, took a totally different perspective on deliverance. It's not like the main way that most everybody does, but it certainly will set you free. If you want to be freed of things, then Everett is the place to go. Anyways, that's kind of my testimony.
Go ahead. We don't have a lot of outcries, Alpha, as you've seen, like many deliverances do, because we do that door-closing prayer before we get into ministry, and that's aimed at closing those 15 doors that we've learned about over these years in advance. And even some demons will leave at that point. In fact, some people yawn them out while they're going through the door-closing. But that makes all the difference. So it's low key typically. Every now and then we will have an outcry, but most sometimes go by without. It's all quiet on Monday night, and it's just low key people yawning, coughing, or burping maybe, and yet these things are coming out. And
right.
What's fun, as you mentioned, is at the end, they seem to feel lighter. Is that what you experienced?
Yes, that's exactly what I experienced. Yeah, it was...
It's most amazing.
It's really amazing, yes. And you guys are so thorough.
Well, the steps we've learned to do, it's taken us all these years. I've been at it 42 now, and the ministry's been going 36. And in the beginning, all we need to do was just cast out demons, you know, figure out their names and attack. But we did have a lot of fireworks, and it was hard ministry. We did help people, or we'd quit, but it was hard ministry. And so over these years, we've learned about these doors that these spirits can come through, and that makes a big difference if you can close those doors first.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
So many ministers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you guys have so much experience behind you. And knowledge and understanding, you know, there's a wealth of knowledge there. And any question that I ever had, you and your team were able to answer all the questions.
Yes. And it gives a real running start into the ministry session. Well, as we've learned, breaking of ungodly soul ties after the... door closing prayer and dealing with the trauma door where people are still carrying lots of bad feelings from traumas and memories of certain events of the past. And our Jesus, I love this because it blows me away every time I see it happen. Jesus will take those bad feelings supernaturally as we go through the process. And the person doesn't have the feelings anymore. They still remember the event, but they don't have the bad feelings with it. And that,
right.
That is one of the big doors to close. And quite a few demons leave, actually, during that process. And then finally, we're ready to work the problem list. We hand out a two-page list of probably 300 problems, which is not exhaustive at all. It's just a get-started list, but... spirits that we've had experience with, their names, and of course, like fear and anger and rage and anxiety and depression and all kinds of addictions and so on, and it's sickness of different kinds, infirmity spirits, and it's most amazing by the end of the evening as those things have come out, how the person changes. We were just talking to a man with his testimony how I was able to get the head demon up in that case, but head demon was infirmity, and then along with it was pain. And when we finally cast the spirits out at the end, there's infirmity and pain left. Well, how exciting is that, you know?
Yeah.
<It's
laughs> Very.
To do it again.
Yeah, and so now, you know, and I felt to come back and to go through your training again. And I'm learning so much more now that I've gone through it one time before. Now this is the second. And I'm just picking up a whole lot more this time. It just seems to be a lot easier.
Well, we probably have a lot more, quite frankly. It's like anything, you keep doing it, you keep learning. We've adjusted our program various times through these years, and I have a checklist so everybody will stay on the same page and do those steps that we've learned to do. And so you'll be ministering before long, Elva, more than likely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surely learning. So, yeah, I'm thankful for the opportunity.
Yes, Alvin, it's you'll be sitting in with me shortly as we work that out. if we've all learned by setting in, it's kind of like flying. I was a pilot for 30 plus years, and of course we used a checklist there constantly to stay on track, and you'll be learning those checklist, and you'll be out there doing it. And the thing is the person learns to do it, even becomes a team leader at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, then they, before long, many of them are out there ministering on their own or in their churches and all over. So we're kind of a training ground as well.
Have you seen definitely. That? It reminds me of Jesus and the disciples. He taught them,
yes.
He trained them, and then he sent them out.
Yes. Yes. That's
so,
very parallel, I guess. We're supposed to be doing it that way, to teach and then disciple them, and then they go out ministering and teaching others. It's kind of a networking thing.
Yes. That's really powerful
so,
when you think
you
about it. Because Jesus was our pattern. So you're really doing exactly what Jesus did, that same pattern.
And even to realize it, but I guess we are, praise God. I have some of the cases you've seen that you've set in on, Elva?
Yeah. Well, I sat on one. This young lady was needing deliverance. Her husband had a friend who was a witch, and so he had pentagrams and stuff like that painted on the shed and in the home that they were renting. So they just painted over it. And she realized in the session, oh, that's not going to do any good just to paint over it, is it? And we told her, no, it's not going to do any good to do that. And she also was letting her kids have all kinds of Harry Potter and stuff like that in their home. And so we told her that's the occult. You can't have stuff like that in your house. And so she was going to go home and clean house. And I think she was going to move into another house. Because there was just too much occult activity, you know, that was going on.
Yes, that, of course, we can clean it out because we have how much power?
Yeah, all power.
All power, amen.
Amen.
If we use it. Well, I had a case like that some years back. There was a couple had moved into this house, and they were having all kinds of demonic activity, and doors were closing and stuff going on, and what really brought it to a head, they had a two-story house, and a pipe broke upstairs while they were gone. I think they'd gone out of town or something. Well, they come back, and the whole house had just flooded out, ruined everything. And so they had to come in and just clean out, you know, pull everything out, down to the studs and rebuild the house. Well, after it was built, they hadn't moved in yet, but the woman called me to make a schedule. I told her my wife and I would come out and we would exercise the house if there was still anything there. And while she was on the phone talking to me upstairs, she heard one of the toilets flush all by itself. And she told me about that. She said, I just heard a toilet flush. And I said, well, it was probably the demons. They realized you were talking to Deliverance Ministries, and they went ahead and flushed themselves down the tube. That's a joke, of course. But one of the things, when we went out and interviewed them later when they had come moving back in, getting ready to, and my wife and I went over there, in the interview, I was asking them anything that you saw in this house when you moved in. They said, well, there was a pentagram on the upstairs ceiling bedroom, but we painted over it, just like what you were saying. Well, that didn't do it because they were having all this demonic activity in their house. So we applied the ALL power that we all use, Luke 10:19, and went around and anointed the house. I have a chapter in my book on exercising houses, doing the supernatural works of Jesus, available through Scriptures for America here. But after that, they had no more problems. You know, we can clean houses out. You really don't have to move. The greater power is with us, and if we can deal with any roots that are there, of course, that's the key, just like deliverance, of cutting those roots, the reason the spirits were there, and then they'll have peace, and they had peace in that house ever after.
Right. Yeah,
go ahead.
Her husband still had that friend, which I didn't understand why he would continue to have a friend that was a witch.
No, not good company.
No, not good company at all. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll learn about it. Well, we're about out of time. In a few moments left, what else would you say to the listeners, Elva?
I would just say that if you're having any problem whatsoever in any area of your life that you feel like you need deliverance, you need to come to Everett Deliverance Ministries. And if you have a sincere heart, you... by the mighty hand of God.
Praise God. Well, thank you so much, Alba. It was a great testimony. It was a blessing to the listeners. And I'll see you on Monday night. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Now, both the caller tonight with the testimonies both said something that was common with me, and I know I've talked to other people, is after they've learned to forgive and they go through forgiveness, especially when you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you those that you need to forgive. It's kind of funny how often something will pop in your mind, you haven't thought about it for years, and you think to yourself, wow, I never forgave that person. And it still happens to me. Both of them talked about, well, I hadn't thought about that in years. So it's just really important if the Spirit brings somebody to your mind or somebody you haven't thought about in years comes to your mind and they've wronged you in somehow, to just say simply, Lord, I forgive that person and I bless that person. You'll see just a big difference in your life, and who knows, that may be that one key that brings them the Lord, brings them to salvation or delivers them from something that's been tormenting them. So, but two good testimonies, really, really well. Join them.
Amen.
Both. They seem to be fired up for the Lord, fired up for deliverance, ready to take on the spirit world. And if you are need deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, info@deliveranceusa.com, send an email. You can call them at the office. You want to get out your office number there?
Yes, 405
842-5509. 842-5509. Oklahoma City Deliverance Ministries.
Yep. And if for some reason you didn't get that or lose it, you can always call Rich at the office at 307-742-7582 and give me your information and he'll get it out to the right people. But we do thank you, everybody, for joining us another Wednesday night. Another set of testimonies down. Always a pleasure. Pastor,
God bless.
Talk to you next week, and God bless everybody.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Open up your eyes and see the lesson.